Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Man, is that man a bad man. Willy Adames. Back against the wall, three-run, go-ahead home run. When you're staring at the first four-game losing streak of the season, Willie the Pillar, arguably the face of the team, delivers his seventh home run of the season. What a moment. Brewers win 6-5 in a game that was far from perfect. But the W at the end is all that matters. And Willy Adames putting his stamp on this one, what a moment. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. That is the phone number if you want to text, if you want to call. Come hang out with us here on the program. I'm pleased to be joined by Jerry Augustine once again tonight. Augie, I mean, there's plenty to get to within that ninth inning alone, but let me just start with Willie's at bat, right? Because he got kind of jammed on that pitch right before the home run, where it certainly looked like a pitch that was outside and it was called a strike, did not like it. Next pitch, gets another hanging curveball, and this time drills it. And Willie's had some bad luck over the last few games hitting the ball hard. We could see this coming, and finally pulls through. Professionals don't get rattled by bad calls. And you saw that with William. You saw that with Gary leading it to Willie getting the game-winning homer. I thought that whole ninth inning was seriously some professional ABs from the veterans.
Yeah, you needed that. You know, you look at the guys, and Contreras starts it off getting on base, and then I thought Sanchez, you know, he threw him a lot of breaking balls, tried to keep the ball away from him, had a really good at-bat, and that's why you want a veteran guy, a guy that can come in at the end of the game or come in and pinch hit or come in and do the job that he has to do and what he can do. He'll give you that good at-bat late in the ball game, and especially – when you get in that eighth and ninth inning, and he did just that. But the Adames home run, the one thing that Adames likes, he likes to get his hands extended. The one thing you don't do to him is throw something off speed, throw a breaking ball away, let him get out there, get his hands extended, and he's going to put a good swing on it. And that's exactly what he got tonight from MacArthur. He got a pitch out away from him, was able to put a good swing, drove the ball to the ballpark. And you talk about big wins. You talk about things that can turn you around when you're struggling a little bit. Today's the kind of game that can really turn it around, especially when you're playing against a good team like the Kansas City Royals.
Now, I'm pulling up Willy Adames' last few exit velocities, and just this is going back to like the Cubs series, because obviously he hit two home runs on Wednesday against the Rays, and that was a great day, and you could see it like, all right, wow, he's really ripping the ball right now. So starting with Friday against the Cubs, right, he had 91 for an out. Then he had a 101 exit velocity out. Then a bloop single at 80 off the bat. A couple of soft outs in that tough game on Saturday. Then he started to really rake against Assad but got nothing for it. A 97, a 101, a 95, a 97, a 100. All of those are outs that I just read on exit velo. 96, that's a double play. 100 earlier in this game, and then finally the 104 is finally the one that he gets out of the yard. And I know some people hear exit velocity like, Dom, who cares? He didn't get the hit. You're right. You're absolutely right. But what exit velocity can tell us is if a guy is close, if a guy needs to tear it all down, if he's making solid contact, good things are bound to happen. It's the law of averages. And gosh darn it, Willy Adames, holy cow, he needed that like you said. And for the Brewers overall, it wasn't a perfect approach with runners in scoring position. But I loved what William Contreras did. William's really maturing before our eyes, understanding that he is the threat in this lineup while Yelich is still out. And William working a seven pitches, and then finally, you know, he fouls off a couple of pitches, and then on the eighth pitch, pulls a double down a left field line. And then Gary Sanchez understanding his role. Hey, man, I don't need to chase anything here. He takes pitches, stays patient. And this is the beauty of this current lineup. And imagine it with Yelly in it, right? Given the fact that you go William, Yelly, Adames, maybe Reese, maybe Gary in a perfect world, this is the beauty of baseball. You got to get all 27 outs, man. It just comes down to every single guy's going to have a rip, and every single at-bat mattered in that ninth, especially Williams' at-bat, to keep the game alive.
Well, the one thing you like about these veteran players, and Contreras started it last year, he started swinging the bat so well, is they make you pitch. They make you get them out. They don't get themselves out. They make you get them out. And that's one thing that Contreras has been so good at all this year, has been so impressive, is he takes the ball, whatever pitch you give him, he takes what you give him, and he's going to put the ball in play. You see a lot of times, sometimes he hits a little dork fly ball to the right field for a base hit. But what does he do? He's got good plate coverage. He understands what he has to do. He has to protect the plate, because if he can protect the plate away, you make a mistake in, he's going to hurt you. And that's what he did tonight. He got a pitch on the inside part of the plate, was able to hit it down the left field line, get the things going, and then you take Sanchez, who had a good at-bat, and then the Adames home run. But these are veterans that they understand what they have to do. And one thing about Willy Adames, when you talked about those exit velocities off his bat, the one thing he's been doing, when Willy Adames is hitting the ball right center and over to left center, that's his strength. He goes out, he can get his hands extended. He's going to hit the ball hard, and that's what he's been doing and hasn't been pulling off the ball. And those good at-bats, those veterans making those great adjustments are so important. But that's what we saw in the ninth inning with two outs. Three great at-bats, and the Brewers win the ballgame.
And I'm looking at Willie's numbers right now for the season. And look, Willie is not going to be a guy that hits for average. He's never really been that guy in his career. He's going to hit above league average, sure. But he's there to be the rare power-hitting, great glove shortstop that he is. And, you know, today with his seventh home run of the year, he's drawing more walks this season. He's currently got what would be the highest walk rate of his career. He is striking out better than league average. Now, if that lasts the whole year, he's going to have a tremendous season. Those are the things that I monitor with Willie. Not so much the power. The power is there, here and there. Power is streaky. You hit home runs by accident. But the fact that he's striking out less, walking more, his WOBA has been really good if you want to get really deep in the weeds, but I don't want to get too lost in the sauce here. Let me get to a couple of texts that I've rolled in here as well. Just to think that when they are left for the dead, Willie says, not yet. If him and Contreras aren't all-stars, there shouldn't be a game. That one is from Doug. Now, shortstop's a loaded position, Doug, in the National League. It's going to be tough to Willie to get in. I would love to see William Contreras be an all-star as well. This one from Josh, Milwaukee. A lot of tough luck and single-inning meltdowns since Saturday. Wilson and Ray gave us everything they could to start this series. Then Willie made something happen in a big way tonight. Hopefully this is a W we look back on down the road. Again, that one from Josh in Milwaukee. Got a few more here to get to. And I did allude to it at the top of the program. Not everything was perfect tonight. There are some things to break down with this one. But I think the cool thing to look at this game, too, all four guys on the bench made some kind of impact on this game, with Monasterio having an RBI single coming off the bench, Sanchez obviously drawing the clutch walk, Bowers had a single. I know Dunn struck out, but that was an 8-pitch battle, and he really hung in there, and I was really happy with the way that he competed in that at-bat. And then, obviously, it wasn't ideal to use Vieira and Koenig, but hey, they used them. Vieira got a run allowed against him, and then McGill slams the door in the end. This was a bona fide team win, and all 27 outs really coming through.
Yeah, you know, and it goes to, Don, when you talk about this ball club and the way you talk about the team and the way it's structured and the way they carry themselves and the way they go about their job as being a good teammate, you know that at some time or another, you're going to be asked to perform. And I think that's one thing that you have to give credit to not only Craig Counsell when he was here, but to Murph and how he's working. He's taking what Craig did and he's using the same thing. He's getting these young players in the game, challenging them, allowing them to go out and do the job that they have to do. And when you do that, you go out, you perform, you go out and you do the things. And I think the one thing that they teach these guys, these young players to do, is to slow the game down, be patient, take what you're given. And that's what you're seeing. When the veterans show that like they did tonight, I thought it's so exciting to see Contreras get the double like he did and on the at-bat that he did, Sanchez being patient at the plate, and then Willie getting the pitch he had to get. When you get those veterans, that teaches these young kids that say, yes, your patience, slow down the game, take what you're given, good things are going to happen. And that carries over to the team. And that's why you get all these guys coming off the bench. And each one of those guys, like you said, Dunn, struck out but had a decent at-bat. You get these good at-bats, and that's what you're going to need as you go on throughout the season.
Okay, we got a lot to break down from this one. We haven't even mentioned the fact that the Brewers went back-to-back with Joey Ortiz and Rhys Hoskins as well. Joey Ortiz continues to swing a hot bat. We got more texts to get to as well, 855-616-1620. You can call us as well, 855-616-1620. A reminder that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's all going to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Jerry Augustine's with us. I'm Dom Catronio. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Action.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers win 6-5 in dramatic fashion. Willy Adames, 3-run homer in the top of the ninth inning with two outs. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. We're also learning more about the legend of this home run from Pat Murphy, talking to the media, and Willie told this to Sophia Minnert of Bally Sports Wisconsin as well. Willie called a shot to a couple of fans in the front row right by the on-deck circle, and that Pat Murphy heard the whole thing. He recalled the whole story. We'll play for that a little bit later on in the program, but Murph saying that Willie was calling a shot to these fans who were talking smack. They were talking smack the whole game, and then, you know, Willie's saying, hey, one more ball, and I'm coming up, and I'm gonna take the lead. And they're like, no, you're not. He's like, yes, I am. I'm going to take the lead. Watch out. Don't let me come up. And then, boom. It sounds like a fun little story, but honestly, when you hear about a player visualizing what he needs to do and what he's going to do, it sounds so simple, but the confidence and the swagger that Willy Adames had bringing to that plate, oh, man, no wonder he's having a blast out there with a smile on his face.
Well, he's a gamer. I think the one thing about Willy Adames, he loves the game. No matter where the game is, what's going on in the game, he's always in it. He's enjoying it. He's talking to the other team at times, the players that he knows. But he always gives you that 100%. And he's going to go up and he's going to give you that 100%. And he's going to enjoy what he does. And I think that's what's so fun to watch about him in every game. You can tell it from the day he came over to the Brewers. Each and every day he walked on that field, it was something special. He loves the game, and he's going to give you his best. And I tell you, what a great story, telling the front row guys that I'm going to hit a home run, then he gets a breaking ball and drives the ball to the ballpark. I think that's a great finish.
It was really fun. So let's talk a little bit more about the lineup and some of the stuff that we saw in today's game. Joey Ortiz hits a home run. I know he didn't do much else otherwise, a couple of strikeouts today. But Joey Ortiz, when you include today's game over his last, what is it now, 7 games, he is 7 for his last 22. That's just shy of .333. He's got 2 homers. He's got 8 strikeouts and 6 walks. He continues to play better. And look, he's only started 7 of the last 11 games. He's not playing very consistently right now. He got the start today against a righty. And quite frankly, I want to see a lot more of him. Because let's be honest, too. I know tonight's a lot about Willie. Joey Ortiz is going to be a big piece of this future. And he's going to be, you know, obviously you acquired Corbin Burns in his deal. But I want to see some more Joey Ortiz because he seems to have clicked into gear. He's in a really good streak right now.
Well, he's just an excellent fielder. You look at what he does. He made some great plays. He makes great plays when he goes out and plays. You look at what he did tonight on third base. He made some really nice plays over there. He's got a strong arm. And he gives you that good at-bat. He's a guy who goes up there with the idea that, you know, I'm going to be patient at the plate. I'm going to try to get a good pitch to hit. And when I get it, I'm going to try to do the best I can with it. You know, you're talking a guy who played Double-A last year, comes in now playing in the big leagues, is hitting .268 right now. And he swings the bat, and he hits some big home runs, and he puts the ball in play. You got to like what he's doing. And I agree with you, Dom. I think he's got a great future. He's a guy who can play all over the infield. Because he does have that strong arm, he covers a lot of ground. He could be a real important part of what this club needs to do in their future. And he sure started out that way.
And he's playing out of position. You know, with the he was all over the place with both teams, with the Orioles and with the Brewers, but he's playing the majority of his games at third base. That's not where the majority of his games had been previously in his Orioles career. So he's doing something for the better of the team to try to keep them in the hunt and keep his glove in the lineup as well. He's turning 26 in July. He's a mature hitter. He was a great hitter coming out of New Mexico State in 2019, and he's certainly showing off that hit tool. Another guy that's, you know, he's going to be hot and cold all season long. This has always been his MO, Rhys Hoskins. Again, kind of like Willie, look, he's not going to hit for average. That's not his job. Rhys Hoskins' job is to slug, is to carry a 450, a 500 slugging percentage. And today, hitting his seventh home run of the season, you know, we're a month plus, you know, we're 6 weeks into the season. You multiply it out, he's on a 30 homer pace and then some. I mean, this is exactly what he was brought here to do. Ignoring the batting average, when Rhys is hitting home runs, the Brewers are generally doing good things.
Yeah, when you historically look at what he did over in Philadelphia, I mean, he's such an important part. Not only is he a good guy to have in the clubhouse, not also a good guy in the community, but he's a guy to come in that can hit the bang the ball around a little bit, hit some home runs, drive in some runs. That's what he did with Philadelphia. That's what he's coming in here to do. And I think coming with this ball club and enjoying himself, you see the way he enjoys himself. I mean, this ballpark, this American Family Field, which is a good offensive ball club where you hit the ball to all fields, the ball has a chance to carry out of the ballpark. This is made for Rhys Hoskins, and I'll tell you what, he can add a lot to this ball club, and he's doing exactly what the Brewers want him to do. He's got seven home runs. He hits 30 home runs. That's a ton of home runs for to get out of their first baseman, something that they haven't had in the past.
I mean, Adamas led the team in home runs last season, given all of Rowdy's struggles and not much power anywhere else. And Willie led the team last season with just 24 of them. So this is going to be a guy that you really love to have. And whatever William becomes this season, look out for him too. Let's talk a little bit about Colin Ray as well. Colin Ray had a day that looked like he was rolling and it was going to be no big deal. And then something flipped in that fifth inning. What did you see in the fifth inning when the Royals finally broke through against him? Obviously aided by a very bad play by Sal Frelick in right field, 95% catch probability. Sal would tell you to your face that was a terrible play by him, and he should have made that play. But all of that aside, I mean, seemed like everything in the zone was getting hit by Ray.
Yeah, I don't think, when you talk about Colin Ray, I don't think, you know, the play happens, and fielders are going to make those plays. Those things are going to happen from time to time in the game. But I thought the Ray started. I thought he was throwing the ball excellent. Really dominating the corners. And we always talk about what Colin Ray has done. His success comes from especially this year, especially after last year, the way he dominated the strike zone, is staying on in the middle part of the plate with all his pitches. I thought tonight he threw a breaking ball when he needed to very well. He had his little cutter. His fastball has been sneaky. He gets by guys, and they're looking for the fastball. And he can elevate it. He can keep it down. He can locate it. But when he plays on the corners and he's playing in the outer part of the strike zone, he is very good. I just thought in the fourth inning, he started getting the ball over the middle plate a little bit. And the one thing you got to think about, when you play a team like Kansas City, they're not a home run hitting team. They're a team that's going to put the ball in play. And they're the kind of team that, you know what? We talked about it last night. You get something started, they're going to take advantage of you. And I thought that you give credit to the Kansas City hitters. They made Colin Ray really work in the inning where they scored the four runs in the fifth inning, and they made him throw strikes, but I thought he still threw the ball very well and did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I think with the Brewers right now, with what they're rolling with Ray, they were begging for some length out of him, given the fact that, you know, Freddie suspended. They're probably going to have a major league debut later this week with Robert Gasser. You don't know what you're going to get out of Tobias Myers right now. So they were really hoping to try to conserve a little bit of bullpen heading into this weekend against the Cardinals, and things just happened so quickly in the fifth inning. What I saw, it kind of flipped, right? The Brewers were so aggressive against Seth Lugo early and almost to their detriment, and I was still shocked that Matt Quatrero pulled Seth Lugo when he did, but that could be a conversation for another time. But the Brewers weren't letting Lugo get into his bag, if you will, weren't letting him use all eight of his pitches that he technically throws, trying to attack him early. In the beginning of the game, you saw a lot of takes, a lot of feeling out, a lot of understanding how Ray was going to start to attack. Then all of a sudden in the fifth inning, ambush, ambush, ambush. And the red alert, the sirens went off, and Ray couldn't get out of the jam. And obviously, Milner came in and slammed the door. And, you know, we were kind of asking for Milner to come in yesterday and slam the door, and that didn't happen either. And Hobie Milner, very quietly over his last 13 games, has only allowed one earned run. So the pitching, albeit they, you know, only allowed one more run, the bullpen allowed one more run with Vieira, the pitching still held down a very good team in the Royals for the most part. Aside from that fifth inning, they contained everything to that fifth inning, aside from the bad seventh inning for Vieira.
Yeah, they did great. I mean, they gave up four innings. They did give up the five hits and the one run, which they gave up in the seventh inning. But when you talk about how they went to approach it, last night, I remember you talked about Gerald Koenig and Milner. The difference in how Murph is using Milner. Milner's very used to coming into a game when there's guys on base. Last year, he was outstanding at a long run to score. So when you talk about a situation where you've got to come in for a starter and in the middle of an inning, I think you're going to look at the guy who can get the guy out, who can come and get that big out and get you out of that inning, get you the next one. And I think when you talk about Hobie, he's that style of guy. I think when you're talking more about the Jared Kidd, Koenig, you're talking about the guy to give you that inning, but a guy who will start the inning, and he'll give you that good inning because he's starting with nobody on base. The pressure of not allowing a run to come in, it doesn't exist. So I think it was just flip-flop from last night. I think it worked out great. I thought last night, I still think Murph did the right thing by bringing in Koenig, because he starts the inning. He's usually been very good. But you look at what he did tonight. He came in the game and he pitched really well for an inning and a third. To really battle back and threw the ball very well, and they needed that tonight. So how they use these guys, Murphy's going to use them and challenge them to see where he can put them. But I'll tell you what, until they get Devin Williams back, you're going to see guys flip-flopping. And I think what you see out of tonight, with Miguel, the way he threw the ball, he's going to be your closer for sure.
No kidding. Eight pitches, eight strikes, a hammer of a curveball. We got to name that curveball for him as well. He has been phenomenal. Let me get to a few texts here. This one from Brian over in Tosa. Great come from behind win. Good to see three homers. Adamas was quiet until it mattered most. That's what you expect from the leaders on the team. Still before rallying, there were five for their last 30 with runners in scoring position during the three-game streak. Absolutely. I agree entirely, Brian. That's been a bugaboo for the Brewers for the last few years, and hopefully getting Yelich back soon for the Cardinals series will be a rebound. I agree entirely. A few others. This one from Jerry and the Dells. What a great comeback. Just what we needed. Too many Brewers fans focus on the end result, not the journey. The journey is and always has been where true happiness is found. Getting deep there, Jerry. Tonight, I feel happy. Life is good. I appreciate it. And then this one I can't read on the radio, but in the words of Ricky Weeks, let's go, if you can fill in the blank there. I love how this team is never out of the game. Good vibes tonight, right, Augie?
Yeah, no question about it. A lot of positive things. And you got to understand, Kansas City is built on a type of team that they were back when they won the World Series. They don't hit a lot of home runs. They put the ball in play. They get guys on base. They're going to score runs. And it's all about their pitching. And I'll tell you what, we were able to take care of that bullpen a little bit tonight in that ninth inning with the big home run. Good to see a big win for the Brewers.
Huge. All right, we got one more segment with you, Augie. We'll take a breather. Come back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. What a night. Brewers win 6-5 over the Royals. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. Also want to thank Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Summer's right around the corner, and now through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $1,500 off Central Air Systems. You can schedule an appointment today at Sider.com. Augie, there were some things in this game that caught my eye with Pat Murphy being a manager and things of that nature, and we can get really deep into what does it mean to be trailing. And in the previous regime, and obviously Pat Murphy was a part of that regime, being down by one run late or being down by 10 runs late, it does not matter. They are not going to use their quote-unquote high-leverage bullpen arms. And Yoel Piamps has pitched once in the last 12 days. McGill before tonight had pitched twice in the last 12 days. The Brewers refused to use those guys. And like we talked about yesterday with Koenig coming in and not executing was the reason why they lost yesterday. Vieira in a one-run game, I understand they were trailing. And the way I look at it for a manager to roll with this, it's like blackjack. It's like when the dealer is showing less than a 7 and you've got 16 or whatever, or if the dealer's showing a 7 and you've got 16, you got to stick to your guns. You got to stick to your numbers and stick to the probabilities. And they stuck with the probabilities of saying, you know what, we are likely going to lose this game in the bottom of the 7th inning, trailing by a run, but we're trusting Chiago to put a 0 on the board. Obviously, Chiago did not put a 0 on the board. Brewers won the game, but I still sit here and think the baseball feel in me is like, yeah, a one-run game on the road trailing. I understand you've only got 2 more times at the plate. I still feel like that's worthy of having a leverage arm in that role. But then you get into, well, each day leads to the next and that sort of thing. It's an open conversation, I guess, of I wouldn't mind, you know, having a guy like Piamps or Peguero or McGill or Milner in that role to get an inning of work because they've barely worked lately. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe they don't need it. I guess I'm talking myself in circles here. What do you think of all this conundrum, Augie?
Dommy, baseball is a funny sport, and you use it how you can use it to the best of your abilities. You got to understand, in the game of baseball, in today's game of baseball, pennants are won with bullpens. There's no question about it. You can have a great starting rotation, and you got to have that. They got to get you to 5. They got to get you to 6 innings. But you win with bullpens. And I'll tell you what, that's what Murph is trying to do, trying to figure out this bullpen because they don't have Devin Williams. Now you got a guy like McGill. He was filthy tonight. I think if I gave it an expression on McGill tonight, I would say he was filth and muck, because everything he threw is just dynamite. But you need everybody there. You need everybody in that bullpen to fulfill a role. And I think sometimes when you're behind in the games, that's when you build guys up. You build a guy like a Hobie Milner who might have been struggling, or a Vieira who might have been struggling, or last night Koenig didn't throw the ball well, but you bring him right back, you get him right back in there to see what he can do. That's what you try to do when you're behind. And that's what you try to do to get these guys in there to make something positive. It happened tonight. They were down. They came in. They gave up just a 1 run in the 4 innings. McGill was able to close it out in that 9th inning. But you know what? The positiveness comes from what? Hobie Milner with the 3 strikeouts. Vieira comes in. Yeah, he struggled a little bit. He gave up the 2 hits in the 1 run. But then Koenig came in and he gave up the 1 in 1/3 inning. These are the guys that you need to be positive, because as the season goes along, you're going to need them. So the Piamps and the other guys, Figueroa, yeah, you need those, but you got to save them for when you need them, when you're on top in the game. I think you're a little bit behind. 1 run down, you can still use those guys. But when you're a couple of runs down, that's where your Milners and your Vieiras and your Koenigs have really got to step up for you. And I think that's what Murph is trying to do.
This is a bullpen that, as you mentioned, does not have Devin Williams, does not have a set closer, which maybe that might have been locked down tonight with what Trevor McGill has done his last few starts, that he is the closer until Devin comes back. And quite frankly, the way I see this bullpen, which is currently holding 8 guys while Freddie is on suspension, because you don't need another starter until Freddie won't start again until Saturday. You have Joe Ross going tomorrow. You'll have Tobias Myers going on Thursday. Probably Robert Gasser on Friday, and then Freddie back on Saturday. So you're going to need some arms out of here coming up over these next 2 days, just in case. And Vieira's pitched a lot. Now Milner has suddenly pitched a lot, but the leverage arms are fresh and ready to go, just in case, for a rubber game tomorrow. Another note to talk about with this in all of the decisions, we talked a little bit about Joey Ortiz, but a good text here asking, hey, when do we have the honest conversation about Bryce Terang being a leadoff hitter? And Sal Frelick today, he had a bunt single going 1-for-3 before he was pulled when the lefty came in. And the same thing would likely happen if Terang was facing a lefty. Terang went 1-for-4, put the ball in play all 4 times. This was something I floated last week and started to think about. Now I'm like, I'm really starting to get behind that thought. When a right-handed starter's on the mound, I would love to see Terang get a shot in the leadoff spot.
You know, Dom, I like that move. That's good thinking right there. I think when you look at Terang, I think when you look at Frelick, I think what you do, you see what he's done tonight. He made that bunt and beat that bunt out. I think he's the kind of guy, I don't know if Terang is really that style of guy. He's the kind of guy who can put the ball in play, and he's going to do a lot of good things for you. But Frelick really reminds me of a guy that he looks the game over, and he's going to try to take advantage of a situation a lot, like when you talk about a great leadoff hitter, Paul Molitor. You get late in the ball game, if there's a chance for him to bunt the ball, move the guy over some way, he did that. And I think Frelick's got that type of attitude. I think Terang is really an interesting guy to put in that first spot. It'd be interesting to see what he would do there. And how he would be aggressive and how he'd work himself. But I think I really like Frelick there and what he's done. He gives you good at bats. He's patient at the plate. But Terang, you look at him, same kind of stature, same kind of guy that goes up there. That's a great thought, Dom, and it might be something that you might see Murph do as the season goes along.
He really didn't do it much in the minor leagues. I'm looking back at some old box scores here. A lot of batting second and third when AAA and in AA, but it's just why not kind of thing. What's the worst that can happen in my eyes? And it's not so much a knock on Sal, and maybe Sal would be better. We've seen this even last season. Remember when the Brewers had to force Frelick into the cleanup spot because they really had nobody else available to do it? But over his career, when he's batting below the cleanup spot, he's been a much better hitter because, quite frankly, it suits his style a little bit better, too, of bat to ball, being a pest, that sort of thing. And I see him, you know, this season when he's batting fifth, he's only had three such games there, but he's 4-for-11. It's a small sample size. This season, when he's batting first, seeing the best, he's only hitting .157. So it's something that I want to maybe start to broach and learn about why the Brewers don't want to put Terang there. And also want to learn why Joey Ortiz isn't playing more, and it's all not a knock on Oliver Dunn, and Dunn is optionable, and he's got all three options remaining, so you can keep him around for sure, but there's some depth on this team, and some young depth, and they're going through it, and a night like tonight is a big opportunity for growth.
Well, it's versatility. You know, what is this team built around? It's built around versatility. You can put so many guys in so many different spots. It's like having Christian in the last couple of years in that leadoff spot. What do you do? Murph takes over and says, you're in that third slot. You have that versatility to move guys around. And the Terang thing is really interesting in that, you know, now that you said that he's never hitting that leadoff spot, more of that second down. Well, he's that type of guy who's an RBI guy, and a guy kind of get with a little bit of power. So it'd be interesting to see him in that top spot. But I'll tell you what, they've got a lot of versatility in this lineup, and the Murph has that ability to do a lot of different things, even batting Contreras in that leadoff spot against a left-hand pitcher. It's something he's done this year, and it's worked out well because this lineup is versatile. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go along and how Murph uses these guys as they go along into certain spots.
It's only May. A lot of tinkering still to do, but a rubber game tomorrow, and we don't have a show, Augie, but man, Joe Ross getting the ball. It's been a weird couple of starts for him. I think he's about to really turn a corner here because the velo has continued to be maintained for him. He pitched really, really darn well his last go-around, 6 strong innings, only 1 run allowed against the Cubs last Friday. He had a no decision in that one. He has pitched into the 6th inning 3 times this year, 6 and 1/3, as the longest start of the year for the Brewers. I'm excited to see Joe Ross pitch tomorrow. That's really all I got to say about that.
Yeah, he's a guy who's really battling back, and he's coming, hasn't been in the big leagues for a while. He's battling back. I thought he's throwing the ball really well. I thought last time out against the Cubs, I thought he located all his pitches. He challenged the Cub hitters, was able to really pitch a good ball game. And I think that's one thing that Brewers would like to see out of him. Give me that good 6 innings. Give me that good, strong 6 innings. He's facing a club now that takes advantage of situations, and they've done it the first 2 games. He's got to stay out of those situations. But he's throwing the ball very well, and it would be really nice to see him come up and give the Brewers a quality start tomorrow.
Yeah, fantastic. Jerry Augustine joining us here on Brewers Extra Innings. The program rolls on, but we appreciate your insight. As always, my friend, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we're going for a series win and a great road trip. So tomorrow's a big ball game. It'll be fun to watch.
Amen to that. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. We'll take a breather, come back with more after this. Stay with us on your home of the Brewers.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. For the latest on Capitol Hill, tune in to... This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. It's also time for your annual AC tune-up. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has you covered. Save $25 on AC preventative maintenance through the end of the month. You can schedule an appointment today at Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R. A few notes, a couple of texts that have rolled in here I want to try to get to everybody as well. Let's go, fun win, but got to get after the starting pitchers more, not just the bullpen. I agree, and also Matt Quatrero, manager of the Royals, did the Brewers a favor a little bit there with the two-out error and infield single from Blake Perkins. It would have been the final out of Seth Lugo's seventh inning. He would have completed seven with just two runs allowed and exited with the lead, and he only had 77 pitches under his belt, and Quatrero went to the bullpen for the lefty, given the lefty Frelick was due. Brought in Monasterio. Monasterio worked a 3-1 count, poked a single through the right side. Then William Contreras poked a single through the right side. And Gary Sanchez really almost made it hurt there, but he ended up striking out. But I was shocked that he pulled Lugo when he did, given he was rolling and the Brewers had not had any loud contact aside from the two home runs back in the second inning. And I understand the fears of a fourth time through the lineup, but I with the way that their bullpen has been run ragged, as we saw tonight, it mattered with MacArthur because he's been run a ton lately. And the performance obviously suffered in the end. And even in the eighth inning as well, Schreiber dealt with a ton of traffic with a pair of singles and a 8-pitch battle with Bowers, an 9-pitch battle with Dunn, 6-pitch battle with Hoskins. So they've been working hard as of late. Each day works to the next. This one, Lori from Franklin was in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium enjoying the win. Lots of Brewers fans there cheering loud. Still need to work. Frelick missed the fly ball over his head. Really changed that game. I mentioned it earlier. It was the leadoff, the fifth inning, with Colin Ray stolen them out. At this point, the Brewers are still up 2-0. They're rolling. Ray is rolling. He had not allowed an extra base hit in the game. And on the first pitch, it's line to right. And again, Sal Frelick misjudged it. And you ask any outfielder, the ball that's hardest to read is the one right at you. But Frelick broke in instead of back. And I'm not the type of person to say, oh, you always have to break back. This is the big leagues, not little league. You make the read. But Sal made the wrong read. He broke in, should have broke back. It was over his head. It led to a triple for Melendez. And he nearly got out of it, but a ground out to third by Velasquez kept the runner at third for one out. Isabella had an 0-2 count on him, but Ray caught too much of the plate with a fastball. He lined it the other way for an RBI single. Then a ground out by Michael Garcia. So you had two outs, a man on second base, and Bobby Witt Jr. at the plate. I mean, at the time, Joey Ortiz made a great diving stop to save a run because otherwise that's a double down the line. So you got men on first and second with two outs and Pasquantino up, and then he ripped the double, and it was back-to-back doubles from Pasquantino on Perez on back-to-back pitches that chased Ray from this game because they clearly had a game plan in that fifth inning to start attacking earlier. So Ray had a chance to get out of it, but it's not an error against Frelick, but it's obviously marked in the coach's book saying, like, hey, man, that's a play that I think if Sal had another chance to do so, he would have read it correctly and understand what that read needs to be. And it's his first time playing at Kauffman Stadium, to be fair, to reading the angles and that sort of thing. A couple of other questions here. This one from Tom in South Dakota. The Mashers were out again tonight, started to lose faith in Willie's ability to hit in the clutch. Hey now, but hope has been restored. Still a tough stretch with Peralta out. And this is another text that came in that same vein. How many weeks after the All-Star break will Yelich and the rest of the injury-prone players be back? Yelich's due back tomorrow, dude. It could be tomorrow. It could be Thursday. He's hit on the field in back-to-back days. He has been running the bases since the Wrigley series. He's been hitting in the cage for the last 5 days. It sounds imminent. And Pat Murphy said it's up to Yelich and the medical staff now. I want to put him in there. The moment Yelich tells me he's ready, he's going to be in the lineup. So it could be tomorrow. If I had to guess, it would be more likely Thursday, but Yelich hit again today, and quite frankly, I was watching it on a feed that we have here in the studio. He was pulling the ball. He was hitting it hard, hitting it with authority, and that could be very, you know, psychopath behavior, but at the same time, it's like, hey, Yelich doesn't really pull the ball that often in batting practice. He was trying to test it out and do like some game-type reps in my eyes and making sure that he's healthy, so he should be back as soon as possible. When you look at some of the other things that are going on with his starting staff, obviously Wade Miley being out for the year with Tommy John surgery, which happened today. You still don't have Jacob Junis around. He was moved to the 60-day IL, which means he won't even be back in the big league roster until June at the soonest. And then you still have to fill a void with, are you going to use Robert Gasser for the rest of the season? When Junis comes back, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be a hybrid? Ashby has had serious command issues down in AAA right now, so he's not an imminent call-up anytime soon. Junk got optioned this past weekend after the Cubs series, so there's not a lot of depth there all of a sudden. They have depth, but not a lot of quality depth. When you get beyond Peralta, Ray, and Ross, you're relying on a lot of youth. And D.L. Hall has been throwing off of a mound, so he could be due back hopefully by the end of the month as well. And the next step for him will be facing live hitters. A couple of other things, trying to guess on the name of Trevor McGill's curveball. The me drill, the thinking of Levo calling it just the drill. The drill could work. I like the drill. I think a hammer could work. Airbender just so clever, and it was named by Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja. We got to think of something for that curveball because that is a nasty pitch, and the rest of the world will learn about it soon enough. Another one here from Bob. Other than Peralta, do you think Ross is the most consistent starting pitcher, and do you think the starting pitching can hold up the rest of the season? It seems like six runs can get the Brewers a win. I agree that Ross is probably the most consistent pitcher. He doesn't need to strike out the world, but he can. The fact that he's maintaining velocity 95, 96 miles an hour is certainly encouraging in my eyes, and I really want to see him bounce back tomorrow on a 5 days rest. You know, he's on traditional starter rest once again, and that's what this time through the rotation has been. Now, that was the goal of it anyway until Freddie Peralta got suspended. But now that Ross is going to roll, this will be his second start on the traditional fifth day. The last one was against the Yankees when he allowed seven runs. So I want to make sure that he gets through this start A-OK on that fifth day of rest, or at least on pitching on the fifth day, not on 5 days rest. So I want to see him get through. And if he can get through this again, I'd be fired up to see what he can become. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. Highlights a little bit later on in the program. What a win. Brewers win 6-5. If you still got thoughts, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Stay with us. This is 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
What a win for the Brewers. I mean, back against the wall. Willie Adames, his third career go-ahead home run in the ninth inning or later while the team was trailing. The first was a walk-off his rookie year while still with the Rays organization. And then the home run that he hit in Colorado back in 2021 when broadcasters weren't traveling. And I'll never forget that game because I was working stats with Matt LePay on the call over on Bally Sports Wisconsin. And we're sitting in an empty American Family Field. And, man, you know, you're sitting there like, oh, we're really about to lose to the Rockies kind of feeling. And no disrespect to the Rockies, but you know what I mean. And then, boom, Willie, in his first couple months in the organization, has this moment. Opposite field, two-run shot, sends the game to extras. Brewers won that game in extra innings, and what a night it was for the crew in that one. Just super, super fun to see Willie Adames continue to thrive in the clutch situations. Now, and to be honest, I shouldn't say thrive because he thrived in 2021, and it's kind of slowly tapered here in the quote-unquote late and close situations. And these are such a small sample size, you can't really overreact to it. Some guys live for the moment, and it's always hard to do it against the best relievers in baseball. But back in 2021, he had an over 1,000 OPS in late and close situations, 352 batting average. Then it slid down to a 670 OPS and a 477 OPS the last 2 years, 22 and 23. This year, and this does not include tonight, coming into tonight, he was hitting 333 with an 833 OPS. This was his first homer in a late and close situation. And maybe the number one note that I'm looking at as I'm looking at this line, he has more walks than strikeouts in late and close situations this season. Kind of like what we talked about earlier in the program. When Willie is walking, when Willie is being patient, when Willie is understanding how pitchers are attacking him, he becomes extremely dangerous. When he strikes out at a league average rate, that means he's making contact, and he's got so much thunder in that bat. Good things are going to happen more often than not. It's enough hearing me talk about Willy Adames. How about you hear the manager and the story about Willy calling his shot? Everything's in here. Here's what Pat Murphy had to say today.
How did the William and Gary at-bats just, you know?
Yeah, that's playing all nine. When you play all nine, you got a chance every pitch. And it came down to the last pitch. William hits a ball down the line. This kid's been incredible all year. And then Gary has a great at-bat, walks, gets a tough righty. And then you know what happened after that. Willie is telling the fans he's going to do it. The group of fans right by the on deck circle, Willie is announcing to them, if I get up there, we're going to take the lead. He's announcing it to them over and over, and they're playing back and forth to each other. Gary walks. He turns back to me. He goes, watch this. Bam.
You're being serious?
I'm being dead serious.
Dead serious.
It's what he did. He'll tell you about it. It's amazing.
That's some Ruthian stuff right there.
No, it was unbelievable. I watched this, and I'm looking at Ricky, and I'm looking back at him, and he's carrying on with them during Gary's at-bat. And he's telling them, and they're all Kansas City fans, and he's telling them, one more ball. It was a 3-0 pitch, and then 3-1. And he goes, one more. And he turned back to him, and he goes, here we go. Watch this. Went up there. Boom. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
We'll have to go look at the video, but was
please
there an
do.
Exchange then as he steps
oh, yeah.
to the plate and comes back?
Oh, yeah. He then went over to him. When he came over, he didn't even come to us first. He went to them first. And it was really friendly. And they were, like, bowing to him and giving him whatever. I mean, it was really priceless. Good, all good-natured fun, but really cool.
But that's, I mean, there's a lot on Willie's shoulders. We talk about this a lot. For him to deliver in that moment, right, against a very good closer,
yeah.
last out, the whole thing, right? That's what you need.
It says everything about his mental toughness, about his discipline. It's not easy to do. I mean, that kid's a heck of a pitcher. They got a heck of a team over there, and as you guys know, they're in a good spot. You can just tell they play with energy. They play in the clutch. They got a great one over there in Bobby Witt Jr., and they got some contributing players right next to them that, God, they're good players. That leadoff hitter, Garcia, and I'm assuming he's Italian. The Italian kid that's, yeah. Not that matters what nationality is, but the Italian kid can rake. I mean, they got a nice team. I love the Massey kid. I love Salvi. I mean, he's the rock. I mean, they got a really, really good club. And so for us to hang in there and just hang in there, and guys playing out of position, guys playing, you know, Monastery and Bowers in the outfield at the end, and Mona getting his first hit of the season. But yeah, you know, and Colin Ray was great for four, but you know, he's only at 60 some pitches, but they hit him pretty hard in that fifth inning, and Milner came in and did a great job. And yeah,
is that a ball from Sal catches most of the time, or did it carry particularly that it was?
Yeah, I think he's not used to the ballpark and how things were carrying, but the balls had been held up everywhere. That one kind of took off on him, but that's ball smashed for one.
Yeah.
But it's a misplay.
You know, the bullpen then, that game could have gotten away because it happened pretty quick there
right.
after that.
Yeah, Koenig and Milner threw the ball very well. Vieira, he got us some big outs, so, yeah.
Murph, I know, Willie's homer saved it there at the end, but did you see some better signs from the offense today? Double-digit hits.
Yeah, I mean,
they weren't able to string much together.
No, I mean, guys were really confident and aggressive against a guy that's had tremendous success this year, and they weren't getting hits. But Willie got robbed of a double. You know, the great play that Garcia made, and then they made some really nice plays. So, I thought we didn't punch out a lot, and I don't know what the final number was, but I don't think we punched out a lot. So I was pleased offensively that, you know, a bunch of guys contributed, a bunch of guys got hits. We used all the players. We didn't have any left. So
maximizing
Reese, you know, big homer, you know, slowly on pace for 30 plus, you know, so.
Didn't we say that earlier? We said that earlier. On pace for 30-plus. We listened to the manager. We know what he's talking about. Pat Murphy there today after the 6-5 thrilling victory over the Royals. Let me get to a couple of texts before we send it back to another break. Highlights coming up next as well. Love the trash talking from Willie. Shows the personality that Murphy is giving to this team. Wow. Needed that one in a big way tonight, Dom. Willie's obviously player of the game, but a lot of credit goes to Sanchez for drawing that walk. Is McGill the closer for the time being? Fantastic tonight. Hope we have some carryover tomorrow. Yes, I think McGill's the closer. He has to be for now. Right? And it's not a knock on Pyomps. It's not because Pyomps pitched poorly in the closer role. It's McGill's blowing guys away. I mean, there's no contact. And even the contact's not dangerous. What he did tonight, 8 pitches, 8 strikes, nothing in the heart of the plate. Curveball got some chase. And having, you know, Pyomps in the eighth is not the worst thing in the world. It's his role last year. So, and again, Devin's going to be back, hopefully, right around the All-Star break, whether it's right before it or right after it. We're hoping for Devin back soon. And, man, then it becomes that three-headed monster that we saw at the end of the season when you had McGill and you had Pyomps and you had Peguero and you had Uribe really throwing 103 and you had Williams available. All of that was really, really fun to watch. So those are a few other texts that have rolled in here as well. How about some highlights? That's coming up next, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
A pair of crafty righties, if you will. Seth Lugo for the Royals. Baseball's ERA, second in the ERA with 1.60 coming into the game against Colin Ray. Good pitching matchup in game two from the K. Scoreless after one. Reese Hoskins was at the plate to lead off the second.
Lugo brings home the 1-0 pitch. Hoskins a drive out to center field. Back on it is Isbell at the track. Wall, bye-bye baseball! Reese Hoskins takes Lugo deep, and the Brewers on top 1-0 here in the second inning.
It's a quick one, seventh of the year for Reese. That leads the team. Then 7 pitches later, next batter was Joey Ortiz, working a good count against Lugo and making him pay.
1-2 pitch. This is hit pretty well. Deep left field. Velasquez back onto the track. Looks up. Gone! Back to back for the crew. Ortiz with his second home run of the year, and the Brewers on top 2-0.
Huge for Joey. He's been playing great, hitting over 300 over his last 7 games. So 2-0 crew. After 2 innings of play, Colin Ray was rolling through 4, got some help from his defense, too.
1 out and no base runners. 2-0 Brewers, 2-2 pitch. Swung on, popped up, foul. Third base side, is there room for Contreras going over near his own dugout? Contreras slides on his knees. William made the catch right before he got to the dugout fence. Heck of a play by Contreras, and that's 2 out in the 4th.
However, things moved quickly in the 5th inning against Colin Ray. A leadoff triple by MJ Melendez on a misplay by Sal Frelick, dealing with the new dimensions at the K. But then an RBI single by Kyle Isbell seemed like it might have been the only damage against him. 2 outs, men on 1st and 2nd after an infield hit by Bobby Witt. Vinny Pasquantino lined an RBI double. Salvador Perez lined an RBI double. You blink, and all of a sudden, it is 4-2 Royals, and they have the lead. They would add another run in the 7th off of Thiago Vieira. The Brewers got a run in the top of the 7th, though, thanks to an RBI single from Andrew Monasterio. They had a great opportunity in the 8th inning as well. 2 men on, 2 men out. Oliver Dunn pinch hitting, and he's at the plate.
3-2. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Cut fastball. Swung over the top of it. And the inning is over. Brewers with 2 hits, but nobody across, and they strand a pair.
They made him throw 23 pitches, John Schreiber, in the last 3 batters that he faced in that frame, but still could not get anything across in that 8th. They're still down 5-3. William Contreras caught a runner stealing to end the 8th inning, trying to generate some momentum into the 9th. And that's where the fireworks began. First man, Blake Perkins, he grounded out against MacArthur. Then, Andrew Monasterio, he popped out. So the Brewers were down to their final strike for 4 straight pitches, when Contreras fell into a 2-2 count. He took ball 3 to make it full, fouled off 2 straight pitches, then yanked a double down the left field line. The next batter was Gary Sanchez, who came into the game as a pinch hitter earlier. He worked a walk on 5 pitches, never taking the bat off his shoulders. It set the stage. The man you wanted at the plate, Willie Adames, with two outs as the go-ahead run.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball hammered out to left. Back goes Hampson at the track. Wall! Gone! Willie Adames flips this game on its head. The Brewers take a 6-5 lead in the ninth. It had to be Willie Adames. His seventh home run of the season. And oh, is it a big one here at Kauffman Stadium. 6-5 Milwaukee.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ. Huge moment for Willie, but the job wasn't finished. Trevor McGill had to have the bottom of the ninth against the top of the Royals' order. He struck out Michael Garcia, got Witt to ground out, and it was up to Pasquantino.
McGill kicks, 0-2 pitch, ground ball to short, fielded by Adames. One hop to first in time, they got him! Willie Adames to Hoskins, and this ball game's over. The Brewers come from behind in the ninth, and they win it 6-5 here in Kansas City.
Lane, my man, you undersold that one. It was a great sliding stop to Willie's right, got up and fired on one hop to get past Quintino. Rhys Hoskins, by the way, had a perfect day on scoops at first base today as well. Brewers win. They grab it from the depths of defeat out of nowhere as they win 6-5. They had 13 hits today to Kansas City's 12. Kansas City committed the only error of the game. The winner is Jared Koenig. He's now 3-1. He's a vulture. The loser is MacArthur. It's his third blown save of the season. McGill gets his third save of the year. 14,000 were on hand to watch it. Took 2.5 hours. We'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, update you on the standings and some headlines around baseball as we wrap up the program after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, final segment here. After a Brewers win, let's take a look at the rest of the league and some of the big headlines coming out of the Central and elsewhere. The Cubs also won tonight, and in a dramatic fashion as well. Michael Busch hitting a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth to defeat the Padres 3-2 at Wrigley Field. Shota Imanaga, man, the Brewers will see him again at some point this year. He finally allowed a couple of runs this year. Oh, my. His ERA went up to 1.08. He allowed two earned runs. His ERA is at 1.08. Seven innings pitched tonight. Imanaga has been fantastic for the Cubs. Elsewhere, the Cardinals not only lost the game, but had a bigger loss as well. Wilson Contreras was hit on the swing, not even the backswing, the swing, by J.D. Martinez on a catcher's interference call. J.D. Martinez has always been a guy that uses the very back of the batter's box, and this, I've never seen a catcher's interference like this. It wasn't even close. Flush on the arm, not even the glove, flush on the arm, and it led to a forearm fracture for Wilson Contreras. He is out for 6 to 8 weeks. He will need surgery. If you can stomach it, the video is brutal. And obviously, we will not see Wilson Contreras this weekend. No brother matchup coming up at American Family Field. The Redbirds are in town. So a huge, huge blow for the Cardinals as they fall to the Mets 7-5 tonight. And the Cardinals are now 15-21, 6.5 games back of both the Brewers and the Cubs. This is going to be a massive weekend for the Brewers and Cubs series this year, just because these two teams won't see each other again for a little while. Now that they're, you know, have met once at each place, the Cardinals do not come back to American Family Field until August. August 20th, to be exact. So this is kind of their last chance to see the Brewers before the deadline, obviously. They'll get the Cubs a couple of times before the All-Star break, but it's not looking great over there in the Lou as they lose their star catcher for multiple weeks. Also, the Reds lose again today. That's 6 in a row for the Reds as they fall to the Diamondbacks and Zach Gallen, who shoved today. He only allowed one hit as the Diamondbacks defeat the Reds 6-2 in Cincinnati. Elsewhere, the Pirates, they were at home for the Angels. They got shut out at home 9-0 by Patrick Sandoval and company. Sandoval, 7 strong innings. He struck out 7. Pirates offense is not pretty. They're hitting .221 as a team right now, and they will be the opponent after the Cardinals next week at American Family Field. Elsewhere, the Rangers put the hurting on the A's today with a 10-run second inning. They win 15-8 over the A's in that one. The Dodgers are putting the hurt on the Marlins, a Max Muncy grand slam in that one. 8-2 Dodgers in the bottom of the seventh. Phillies continue to roll. They win over the Blue Jays 10-1. I don't know what to make of the Blue Jays right now. The Blue Jays are now 16-20. They are the only team under 500 in the AL East. Maybe a lot of people thought it would be Boston. A lot of people thought it would be Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay's been on a little bit of a run. They've won 5 games in a row since leaving town at American Family Field. Must be something in those City Connect jerseys, to say the least. But in that game, Bryce Harper hit his 9th home run of the year for the Phillies. A couple other scores here quickly. The Braves back on track. They defeat the Red Sox in Atlanta 4-2. Yankees over the Astros 10-3. Verlander got knocked around. The Astros are 12-23. Wow. What a turn of events there. And finally, one more bad news score for bad teams anyway. The Rays beat the White Sox 5-1. Once again, the White Sox score one or fewer runs. It's the worst start in franchise history. They are 8-28, and the Brewers will see the White Sox at the end of May. Whew. It's a lot of scores, a lot of stuff to get to. Tomorrow, rubber match. Should be a fun one with Joe Ross on the mound for the Crew. He'll be going up against Brady Singer, talented right-hander out of the University of Florida. You may have seen the memes of him complaining after a rain delay back in Super Regional days, back in the year that he was drafted in 2018. But Singer is kind of riding the ship this year. He quietly made 29 starts a year ago. This year, he's thrown 40 innings. He's got an ERA of just 2.45, and he strikes out, guys. Got over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Joe Ross, coming off of 6 strong innings, only allowing 1 run against the Cubs. See what he can do as an encore there. Tomorrow, the game will start at 1:10. We are on the air once again at 12:35 with the On Deck Show. No post-game show tomorrow. We'll roll into drive time programming here on WTMJ. My thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining us and to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.